We ought to be thankful just to be alive, just to have a new day, one we've never seen before. We ought to be able to say thank you, Jesus, for just waking us up again this morning and allowing us to be in this place for the purpose of worshiping him in spirit and in truth. You come to worship this morning? Leave all other stuff outside and let's give God our best. Amen. If you visit with us, not a member of the Church of Christ, you're a very honored guest of the audience. And we want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. We believe the Bible is right and every word of it is right. He did hang on the cross. We didn't see him, but we believe he did that. And he died. The blood he shed to purchase his church became his bride, the bride of Christ, the Church of Christ. That blood will wash away your sins if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and willing to confess that before men. Know that he suffered, shed that blood so you could be saved. That blood will wash away your sins. The Lord will add you to the true church, the only church. That's the Church of Christ. Amen. We believe that. And so you experience a New Testament pattern of worship where we sing without the help of mechanical instruments of music, no choirs. We're all the choir. We take the Lord's Supper every Sunday because it's examples of the disciples. They took it every Sunday. We take a collection every Sunday. We use 1 Corinthians as an example of when they took it. Frequency was every Sunday, every first day of the week. So that's what we follow in the churches of Christ. So we're happy to have you with us today. And then some of our members. Good to see so many here this morning. Amen. Good turnout this morning. Good turnout. Good to see some. I haven't seen in a while. Yeah, always good to see you back. We miss you when you're not here. Amen. We miss you when you're not here. We want you to be faithful to the Lord. We know it requires faithfulness to get to heaven. And so we like to see our members faithful to the Lord. And perhaps you're visiting with us. You are a member of the Church of Christ, but just visiting. We want you to know we welcome you to our family. Amen. Welcome you to be here with us. And just thankful you came to worship with us this morning. We're studying from the book of John. The book of John. We started the book of John. And then we have completed John chapter 1. And we're going into chapter 2 now. It's going to be a great study from the book of John. The Bible said many other signs truly did Jesus that are not written in this book. But these that are written that you might believe. John wrote that, and that this would help us believe after we studied the book of John. It helped his disciples. Jesus worked on their belief system throughout the book of John. We'll see that. So this morning, whatsoever he said unto you, do it. Do it. Whatsoever he said unto you, do it. Amen. And we had a wonderful picnic. I just want to say that. It was a wonderful picnic. Thank you so much for all who contributed to the cause. And the third day, there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee.
And the mother of Jesus was there.
And the mother of Jesus was there. Now, here it is. It's right after he got through talking to Nathaniel and telling him that he's seen him under the fig tree and he told him about his life. And now he's the third day, there was a marriage that was going to be in Canaan of Galilee. There was a marriage taking place. The mother of Jesus was with him at the marriage. And the mother of Jesus is, I want to put some emphasis right there this morning, is that this mother of Jesus will be with him throughout his ministry. She will go with him. She will walk behind him on the cross, to the cross. She will be there. And I would just plug this as a good mother, that you should stick your children, stick with them to the end. They're still your children. And a good mother doesn't mean she won't make mistakes. That's not what I'm saying. But at the end of the day, no matter how bad your child may be, no matter how disobedient that child may have been, you should stick with your child to the end. I'm not saying you stick with them when they're wrong, but you never leave them as a mama, because they only get one mama. And no matter how bad others may want to step in, you still that child's mama. And to the children, Jesus recognized his mother to the end. And the last, one of the last of seven statements he made was take care of mama. And I would say to all of us who are children, let's not leave our mama. We should take care of our mothers. And mothers should know their children. If my mama could raise seven children, surely seven children should be able to take care of her when she can't take care of herself. And I just say to all of us, let's remember the relationships of a mother and a child. And I think this is a grand example that Jesus has a mother who loves him. And she will be with him even to his death. And I say to all of us, what it is to have a wonderful mother in your life. I miss my mother. But my mother left me something, a belief in mothers, that she was a mother that I could believe in. A mother who lived, not perfectly, but taught me morals and values and disciplined me. Even when I didn't like what she done, I understood she was still my mama. And because she was mama, I gave her the respect due to her. And I say to my grandchildren, respect your mother. Give them due respect. Don't ever forget you the child and she's the mother. When my mother was 86 years old, 84 years old, I was still the child and she was the mama. Amen. I'm in my 50s when she died, when I lost with my mother, and that I was still her child. One of the greatest things I like to hear my mother say is she called me baby. I like that. Especially when my other siblings were cutting up. And she said, y'all leave my baby alone. I like that. And I said, I'm still mama's baby. It's good to feel good. And it feels good to know when things are not good. I'll never forget my youngest grandbaby. We didn't think she was going to make it. My grandbaby was going to have heart condition. And didn't know we was going to make it. One of the toughest, difficult times of my life. And the doctors pretty much gave up. Said there was no hope for her. We met with the Texas Children's Hospital and the staff there. The doctor started crying. I knew it was trouble when the lady doctor was crying with us, trying to give us the news. And I said, man, when the doctor crying, you know it's tough. But she gave us the news. And she said she had letters that some other, she sent out my case of my granddaughter. She's in the audience today. And said that wasn't nothing they could do for her. And there was one doctor over there in Cleveland, Ohio, said he would take a look at her case. So he took a look at her case, and this is a true story. And so we crying and meeting with the doctors and didn't feel much hope. And so we asked the church to pray for us. And went to Little Rock and came back, and she gave me that letter. And I went to my office about 5 or 6 o'clock that evening. And I just called the office hoping to get an appointment with the doctor. This long shot. And I called, and the doctor answered the phone. I'm talking about a heart surgeon that don't supposed to be in his office at 5 o'clock answering the phone. You get a secretary for that. So he answers his phone, and I tell him who I am, and he tells me who he is, and I pause, and I'm choking, and I don't know why I got the doctor, but this is the guy I need to talk to. So I told him, you wrote a letter to my granddaughter, and I don't, you said there are some other options we could consider. He said, yeah, I think I got some options, but I'm not real sure until I see her. I said, so can you see her? He said, well, just put her in the car and bring her home. So he gave me an appointment without talking to his secretary. So I take her. We load up that night. We pray at the church. We had a gospel meeting going on that week. And we circled and prayed at 9th Street Church of Christ for my daughter, my grandbaby. And we loaded up and headed to Cleveland. We was in the McDonald's, at the McDonald house on 911 September. Y'all remember that? That's where we was at with her. September 11th. And so I know I was in Cleveland when those terrorists flew those planes, and I knew where I was at. Yeah. But the story is that before I left, I was crying in my garage. I don't even know if my children know this, but the only person I could think of to talk to was mama. And I won't ever forget that conversation in the garage with my mother. Because I told her, I said, Mama, this is one I don't know how I'm going to handle. And she said this. She said, son, do your part and the Lord will do the rest. what my mother told me. Now, because it was her and her voice, it was a comfort that I don't think anyone else could have said it that made it feel like it was real. The end of this whole story was, we get there, and they do an echocardiogram on her heart. And they had told us that there was nothing they could do. And he said, I think I see something, but I won't know until I get in there. And so he had to open her up with open heart surgery. And so he opened her up, and sure enough, there was a little piece of meat that had grown over her valve. They clipped it off. She's fine in an audience today. You say, well, that was a miracle. No, it wasn't. That was the answer to prayer. Amen. If it was been a miracle, they'd have never put a knife on her. Miracles just happen. This was God responding to the prayers of a righteous man. You know what I'm saying? That's the power of prayer. Is that when you trust God, like my mother said, you do your part and let God what? Do the rest. And God did the rest. So that's my story. Good to have her in the audience today. She just got back from Arkansas. So, but it's a good time to tell that, because I think about mamas, how when Solomon, two women, was trying to make a decision whose baby it was. And Solomon said, I tell you what, let's just cut the baby in half and give one to one mother, another to another. But the real mother said, no, don't kill it. Give him to her. He said, that's a mama. So a mama have a love that others won't have. And that's why I'm taking the time to talk to you. You don't have to wait the Mother's Day to talk to you. Talk to you now. Amen. Your mothers are super critical to the well-being of their children. Amen. So here's Jesus with his mama, been invited to a marriage. Now think about this wedding. At this wedding is Jesus, the Savior of the world. This would be the first wedding with Jesus in attendance. Think about this wedding. This wedding has Jesus' mother, who was highly favored by God, selected to deliver the Son of God, Emmanuel, God among us. That's what Luke said. So the angel had went to her. So she's there. This marriage has holy presence in it. And I would just say to anyone who's considering marriage, that are you considering the holy presence in your marriage? In other words, is Jesus in your marriage? Has he been invited? Are you going to honor the vows? Or will the vows be just a simple ritual like many do? We have the Hueys getting ready to get married. One of the things I do in my counseling is make sure you go through the vows to understand what are you saying. This is not just words. These are words among in the holy presence of God and holy matrimony. And I'll say all of us should understand that marriage is honorable unto all. Since it's honorable, the blessed marriages will be those marriages who invite Jesus into their marriage. There are many people today with troubled marriage because Jesus is not in the marriage. My question becomes, have you invited the Lord in your house? Amen. Many of you are troubled in your marriage and they're torn apart and you're going through trouble and you're talking about divorce and all these other things. And it may be the problem is you haven't invited the Lord into your marriage. And if you want to have a stronger marriage, the stronger the family is with the Lord, the closer you are to the Lord, the stronger the marriage is going to be. When you got two men and women who are married, a man and a woman who's married, and make sure you say that right these days, because folk get to misunderstand you. Amen, somebody. But anyway, but when you got two Christians, and both of you are Christians before you're a husband and wife. I mean, your husband, you love your wife. That's your sister in Christ. Amen. And that's your brother in Christ. And when you treat them like that, you keep the Lord in the middle of it. And then you won't be fussing and fighting and all that stuff. You learn to be peaceful with each other. Well, so the marriage, the trouble of those marriages who leave the Lord. I want a good chance for me to plug our marriage, upcoming marriage. Some of you couples in here, your wife, so let me talk to some of these men. Your wife won't. She need that retreat. She need a time down. Just for her and you. And here you are too tight to spend a little money to take your woman to San Antonio. Hey, man, here you are. Here you are. You're a brother here. I know some of you brothers. I know your wives. I know they want to go. And here you are, not even willing to put Jesus on a weekend. I mean, you have some Jesus in your life. Amen. Hey, I'm talking to the men. Some of you tightwad men. And put a little money into your woman. Ain't she worth a little something? Amen, somebody. Yeah, she worth a little something. And your sister say amen right now, especially if you want to go. And just bump him and let him know I'm talking about him. Bump him like that. He ain't going to move. He ain't going to move because he don't want y'all to know I know. But, you know, I'm just starting. The marriage retreat is a chance for us to talk about spiritual. You know why marriages are falling apart? Because there are a lot of carnality in it. If work's more important than your marriage, then you're carnal-minded. You need to put God first and put your wife first. You don't put your wife on the back burner. Amen. You don't put your marriage on the back burner. And some of you brothers, I've been married 50 years. Ain't nothing you can do. Well, here's what you can think about. You've been married 50 years. You got 50 years of experience to help somebody else. Amen. 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 Yeah. Yeah. They say when it's snow on the chimney, fire. Is how they say that? Huh? You ain't never heard that. They talk about that. Just because you got some gray hair on top don't mean ain't no fire still lit. You might light up something you go to stand in tongue. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. They don't tell how you come back. You might come back smiling. Yeah. Old man went up there limping, coming back walking straight. He said, hey, I said, man, you got a little pep in your step now. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Appeal to you brothers to take your wives. And some of your wives and your husband need you. He needs you to love him. He needs you to know he needs to know he's your man. Take him up there and let him know he's your man. Amen. Yeah, every once in a while I need Sharon, let me know I'm the man. Yeah, you got it going on, you know. Y'all just let us stick our chest out a little bit, you know. You know, mean it though. I mean it. But the marriage is saying, I know I'm making a little humor out of it, but some of you all, your marriage is never going to get better because you don't invite the Lord in your life. You're not trying to help it get better. You can't do it on your own. You need Jesus in your marriage. Amen. All kind of things can come between you and your wife out there in the world. Yeah, you're working every day trying to raise these children, get a lot of distractions. Sometimes you need some downtime for just you and your wife. Amen. Let's go on. I thought I'd throw a little bit on marriage right there. By the way, the marriage retreat information is on the website. And you can find more on it. Let's go to verse 3.
And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage.
Okay, read.
And when they wanted wine, mm-hmm. the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine.
Now, I know every time you start talking about wine, folk want to start asking, can I drink and get drunk? Well, you know, everything wine was used for in those times, medicinal purposes. They did festivals. They used unfermented wine and things of that nature. But just so you can answer, just get Romans 14:21. Let me just knock that question out of the park right quick. This should not be something we desire to be drunks or to be representatives of those who are drunks. You know, today wine is not used for medicine, and I know sometimes your doctor tell you to take a little bit for your blood pressure, whatever. He may do that, but not too often. Most times they're gonna give you some amlodipine or something. That's what I tell you. In Romans 14:21, the Bible says it's neither good to eat what?
Flesh.
Nor to drink wine. Now he put wine right here and there. Nor anything.
Whereby thy brother stumbleth.
Yeah.
Or is offended.
So here's the answer to social drinking. It's not expedient. Now, if I had this morning up here, I'd have walked in, I put in a cold Budweiser, set it right there. A red glass of wine, set right there. I'm not drunk, I'm not drinking it. How many of you want to listen to what I got to say? How many of you going to leave? How many of you would say, what a hypocrite? Look at him. Why? It doesn't represent, does it represent God? No. How is the God and the Budweiser going to go together? They don't. In our world, they don't go together. This goes with Satan. And so anytime you want to take a social drink, just remember you're not representing God. Oh, I know you're going to argue the point because you want to drink anyway. You just want to drink. But it's not expedient for me to do anything that will cause people to fall, that could cause people to lose their soul. So it's called the law of expediency. What's the advantage to my audience for me to have a glass of wine up here? The advantage is zero. Can it hurt someone? Yes. Yes. So we're dealing with the law of expediency. So that's all I want to do about that wine stuff. So this is not what we need to be dealing with here. But it needs to be said today because we have those of you who still socially drinking, right? Say amen if you're drinking socially. Ain't nobody going to say nothing. One time you don't say amen. Y'all understand where I'm at on that? So that's where we are. Let's go on to verse number 4.
Now, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come.
And Jesus said, now, wait a minute. Why are you asking me to do it? It's not time for me to make known who I am. So Mary knows something that other people don't know. See, Mary, the angel done come to Mary and already told her that she was highly favored. She knows it's something about Jesus that's different from everyone else. He's not just a normal child. So he's asking her. His mother said, he said, it's not my time. What you want? And so his mother said to the servant, Whatever he say, do.
Do it.
That's where I want to be this morning. He said, now what? She said, they was talking about wine. But what she said, well, look here. I don't know what he going to do, but whatever he say, do. Just do that. Because there's something about this guy. And she knew that. And so she's expecting him to do something about a situation. That's where I want to be. And if we in the religious world today, if men of the cloth, so-called of the cloth, would just do what the Lord said, people could be saved. Just tell the people to do what the Lord said do. It wouldn't be a question about should I preach the gospel or not. Jesus said he that go to all the world and preach what? The gospel to every creature. He that believe in it is baptized shall be. Baptism wouldn't be a question because they just do what the Lord said do. He said go teach all nations doing what? Baptizing them. So it would not be a question. If we had the attitude that Mary had, she just said, hey, I don't care what he say, do, just do it. It's going to be right. And that's what we should do. Our lives could be better if we would just do what the Lord say, do. Our homes could be better. Our children be raised better. Our lives would be better. Our relationships would be better if we just do what the Lord said, do. Coming to worship wouldn't be an issue because we know God is a spirit and they that what? Worship him must. Worship him how? In spirit and in truth. Just do what the Lord said, do. Whatever he said, do. In word or deed, do it all. In the name of the Lord. Verse 6.
And there were set there 6 water pots of stone.
Yeah.
After the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins.
So we got 6 pots. Estimated about 20 gallons, a lot of water, right? And then Jesus said, here's what, now, he's going to tell them what to do.
Jesus says,
he said, now, here's what y'all do.
Fill the water pot.
Number one, first command, fill the water pot. And let's see what the response of the servants.
To the brim.
They fill them up. They did what he said. What she say do? Whatever he say do, do it. He said, fill the water pots up. They fill them up. Notice what he said.
And he said unto them.
Second command, draw out now.
And carry to the governor of the feast.
And guess what they did?
And they buried.
They did what he told them. Verse 9.
And when the rulers of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was.
Now these guys didn't know where the wine came from. But the servants drew the water.
Did
what Jesus told them to do knew the results of this. The results of what Jesus said to do. Okay, no. Now, he said the governor of the feast.
The governor of the feast called the bridegroom.
So the governor of the feast, he's always customary that someone is chosen to manage the whole festivity. And so he's the one managing everything. And he said unto them,
he says unto them, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now.
Now, basically, we ran out. Of wine, but now the good stuff done came. They must have been keeping the good stuff in the back. And so here's the good wine that showed up. Now here's the thing. Here's my point, my application to us. If we turn our situations over to Jesus, the outcome is going to be better. Amen. See, the first set of wine wasn't in the hands of Jesus. But when he came into the scene and his mother asked him pretty much, can you handle this situation? And the key word I'm using is situation. Can you handle the situation of there's something missing in this marriage? Is something missing that you can bring to the table? And in our situations of life, we know if God is missing, something missing. And if we want it to get fixed, we let the Lord tell us what to do, and we do what the Lord said do to fix the situation that we have. And so here it is, Jesus getting ready to fix the situation. So my question is, are you here this morning because you have a situation? Do you come to worship because you have a situation? Man, there are so many of us going through troubles. Trials dark on every hand. Amen. Troubles and trials and tribulations. Raising children, trying to make it ends meet. Trying to fight that devil every day, every week. Yeah, amen. Somebody, how many of y'all fighting with the devil? He always giving you opportunity to fall. He giving you some reason to leave the Lord. He trying to refocus your from what your well-being. Here you are, you doing good. You trying to be spiritual. You trying to live right. You trying to act right. You trying to talk right. You here today, you've been trying over and over. And you have a situation where it seems like you can't get to where you need to be. Because here's the thing what I'm saying. You got to at some point and make a decision. Just do what the Lord said do. If you haven't been baptized, be baptized. You got to do what the Lord said do if you want a better situation. Amen. You got to be faithful if you want a better situation. You got to give God first in your life. You want a better life? You want to be more spiritual? Then you got to put God first. You got to do what the Lord said what? Do. Who came this morning with a situation that you want better? See, he had a better situation after Jesus did what he did. The Bible says in verse 11, the beginning of miracles
this,
did Jesus.
This beginning of miracles did Jesus in the Cana of Galilee.
And manifested forth his glory.
And his disciples believed on him.
Now, so the disciples are believing because of the miracles, right? And after this, he went down
and
to Capernaum.
After this, he went down to Capernaum. He and his mother and his brethren and his disciples.
And they
continued there many days.
Now, so he leaves. He's made known, his supernatural powers have been made known to those men who have just been selected, that have been selected as his apostles, that will be soon as possible. They're disciples at this point. And he's demonstrating he has his divine power before them. And so after performing his miracle, Jesus and his family moves on to another situation. So here's why I want to ask questions. So let's apply. Everybody kind of go into your own room. What is your situation, really? You know, sometimes we come because we want somebody to put on a good show on the stage, a preacher put on some good hooping, and make sure we do some hollering and waving our hands and all that kind of stuff. But that don't fix situations. You might come because you want a good exegetical, expository preaching, and you want somebody to really impress you with big words, fancy talk. That don't deal with situations. When we start looking at situations, you got to be real with self. And that's the application I want to make with this lesson. When people's lives are in shambles, why are you mad? Why are you angry? Why can't you forgive? Why are you not being spiritual? Why are you being a troublemaker? Why are you gossiping? Why are you talking behind people back? What is your situation? You don't come here to be problems. We come to the Lord. We invite the Lord in our life to deal with our situations. Let me just say it like this. Being in the church 32 years now, what amazes me more now that I'm a minister and been at this a long time and got some experience, mm-hmm. is people who should be spiritual that are not. Mm. I mean, let me talk about spirituality, spiritual people. Spiritual people are led by the Spirit. They're not backbiters. They're not tail bearers. They're not whisperers. They don't brawl. They don't strike. They don't hit back. That's carnal-minded people. Church, we have to understand that we have an example to be before people and to let them see Christ in us. And to see Christ, you have to see spiritual people. Being spiritual is when the Lord is in your life. What is your situation? Why is it that you're like that? Why are you not more spiritual? You can do it. How do you do it, Brother Brooks? You got to let Jesus into your life. You got to refocus on the Lord. That's the point I'm making to this application is Jesus made it better when he was there. He makes it better in your life. Man, I don't care how much you try to be better until you get the Lord in your life, you will not be better. Amen. I would challenge everyone. You've been in church 10, 20, 30 years. Look at your behavior. Ask yourself, when somebody offends me, do I go tell everybody else before I tell him? Do you know that's not spiritual? You never do that. A spiritual man will go to the other person and say, hey, bro, look here. Man, I'm sorry, but you offended me. And I said, man, I didn't know I offended you. Mm-hmm. I did. Yeah, you did. I know you might not mean, or maybe you did, but I just want to let you know you offended me.
That's it.
Now, give me a chance to say, now, how spiritual am I going to be? I'm going to say, well, you know, bro, I'm sorry.
That's it.
Will you please forgive me?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
That's right.
Now, watch the corner, man. Mm-hmm. You know, man, I can't stand away. And, you know, that's all, you know, I can't, you know. Remember what he did to me? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. What spiritual man gonna do? What are you gonna tell me? Is that man? Have you talked to Brother Anthony? No, you know what the corner man? He did it to me too. You know, let's go over here and tell him. Hey man, y'all remember Anthony? And now you got a gossip session going on. Now you got three or four people in sin because you were not spiritual. I mean, so you said, Brother Brooks, I want to go to heaven, but you got to get Jesus in your life. You got to get the Lord back in your situation. Now, here's the write-off. Most of us, oh, well, you know, that's just the way I am. Okay, just the way you are, I'm going to call you lose your soul.
Amen.
When the spiritual, and I'm going to put more emphasis on this, because that, you know, we're trying to get elders and deacons, we need to be spiritual.
Amen.
We need to put away any kind of foolishness. We don't need no foolishness going on. Amen. And the way we stop it is we got to have the Lord in every situation. Am I right about it? That's right, Brother Brooks. It's right. I'm not backing off of that one. We need to, this is how we grow. This is how we all grow. We grow by being more what? Spiritual minded. You know what spiritual minded means? Am I going to make a mistake? Yes. What do I do? Ask for forgiveness. Spiritual people know how to ask for forgiveness. You know, I say, well, I'm sorry. I did it wrong. I didn't do it right. I'm not saying we do things perfectly right. We know when we make a mistake, we admit it. We ask for forgiveness. Also, we give forgiveness. When people ask us, you ain't got to hold it no more. It's done. It's over. Amen. That's the way you deal with situations. Now, when you get back to you, can you forgive yourself? What is your life? What is your situation? And so let's just list some things. Is your situation this morning, your life, your marriage, your home, your relationship? Is it your boyfriend? Is it your girlfriend? Is it your fiance? Is it your mistress? Is it your affair? Is it an ex-wife? Is it an ex-husband? Who is it? That's the situation you got. And the only way that situation gets better is that you got to get the Lord back into the situation to help you with the situation. And whatever the Lord say do about the situation, do it. Now, is it your health? Is it your job? Is it your mind? Is it the fact that you've been abused? Is it your childhood? Is it your dark closet? Is it your depression? Is it your trauma? Your tribulation? Your mistakes? Your setbacks? Your failures? Your fears? Your decisions you made? They have consequences of them. Your children, the affairs, the backsliding, the mind that's troubled, the secret dark sins that only you and God know, and you need relief. You need forgiveness. You know you're lost. You know you're not at peace with God. You're tired of this. Let Jesus into your situation. What are you saying, Brother Brooks? Do whatever he said do. And your situation gets better immediately. So my question to all of us including me and you and everyone else. You got to be honest with yourself. Why am I at this place today? What is my situation? I got a situation. Don't you have one? How many of you got a situation that we know it can be better if we allow God in? Now, would y'all agree with that? Is that a no-brainer? If the situation I'm in and I don't let the Lord in, it's not going to get better. But if I let the Lord in to my situation will get better. My situation can be simply my life. People are without God, separated from God. Isaiah 59:1-2. And he said, I will not hear. Your situation is you can't pray right now because the sin is separating you from God. What do you do about that? Ask for forgiveness. You got to confess your faults as Christian. We confess our faults one to another and we pray one for another. God said, if you confess your sins, I'm just to forgive. You just confess. Just do what he told you to do. And you can be at peace with God. You know God will forgive you. You got to believe it. Just do what he told you to do. Confess your sin. You can't come here and don't confess your sin. You got to do what the Lord told you to do to get forgiveness. And then you're here today, you're not a Christian. I mean, you've been going from church building to church building to church building. You don't have to run and chase it. Understand, just do what the Bible said. God said he was going to send his son. His son came. Came to this world, John 3:16. He came to this world to save the world. God sent his son. His son came. They treat him cruelly, treat him like a death row inmate, beat him, whipped him, put a crown of thorns on his head, led him up a hill, drove nails in his hands and his feet. He hung 6 hours to save you, to rescue you, to give you your beginning, to give you forgiveness. He stayed 6 hours on the cross for you. And he said, I love you enough to die for you. And when they took him down off that cross, they buried him in a tomb. He rose up and here's his command. He said, go into all the world, preach this gospel, tell them I did it for him. He that believe it and he'll baptize shall be saved. Just do it. Believe it and do it this morning. Be baptized this morning for the forgiveness or remission of your sins and your life will be better. Trust me. Life before God and life with God. Which one gives you a better life? It's life with God. So the invitation today is, what's your song of encouragement? Because he lived. That's a good one. The only reason we all got opportunity to do something about our situation because Jesus is living. He's still on the right hand of the Father. He got up that Sunday morning. He got up with power. And he got up because he lived. We can all face tomorrow. We can face our situation. Don't go in no situation without God. And then you need God in your life. You're going to need him in your life. You're going to need him in your marriage. You're going to need him with you at the doctor's. Amen. You're going to need him, y'all. You're going to need him with him when everybody else don't like you and they're talking about you. You're going to need the Lord. You're going to need him when other people look down on you, don't think you can be what all you should have been and what you should be, and they got all these opinions about you. You can worry about them. You know the Lord going to give you a chance. He's going to give you a new beginning. He gives you a new start. He gives you everything you need to be successful. We don't need man to be successful, but you certainly need God to be successful. You certainly need Jesus in your situation to have a better life, to have a better situation, to even be a better person. You got to let the Lord into your life. I know all of us mess up. Ain't nobody got no room to talk about nobody. All of us got a situation that need to be cleaned up, and I'm one of them, and so are you. Yeah. Amen. I got my situation. Yeah. But here's the thing about it. I'm never going to stick my head in the sand and act like I can't do better. I'm never going to be one who can't take constructive criticism. Can you? Can you take a constructive criticism from me saying, I see you, you're not as spiritual as you should be? You should take that. Yeah. You got to do what's best for you. If it's going to help me, brother. Help me, sister. I can take it. Why? My mind is focused on the Lord. I want my situation to be managed by the Lord. And I'm going to turn my hands over, my life over to him. How many of you all have turned your life over to the Lord this morning? Say amen if you have. Amen. If you turn your life over. When you turn your life over, trust and obey then. Just trust him and obey him. That's the message this morning, is that whatever the Lord told you to do, do it to be better. Do it to be all you want to be. And everybody understand, we ought to want to be the best we can be when it comes to being a Christian. Amen, somebody. So because he lives, we can face tomorrow. We're going to sing this song. Here's what I want you. Those who are not Christian, not members of the Church of Christ, there's only one true church in the Bible, the Church of Christ, and you need to just learn that and then obey it. You obey it by being baptized, or you can reject it, and you at the end of it, it's going to be your lost soul. But that's your situation. You don't believe. If you believe the word, you obey the word. They had to believe Jesus to obey him. You believe today that he died for his church. His church is known as the church of Christ. It's in the script. He built but one, Matthew 16:18. He said, he that believeth and baptized shall be saved. We baptize you, your sins will be washed away. Then Acts 2:47 said, the Lord would add you to the church, and that church is the church of Christ. Now, if you don't want to obey that, then that's on you. That's on you. But at the end of the day, the people who want the Lord in their situation will do what Mary told them folk to do. Whatever he say, do it.
Do it.
And that's today. Those who need to be baptized, you hear the gospel, you believe with all of your heart, you repent of your sin, you confess Jesus to be the Son of God. Before these people will ask you, do you believe Jesus Christ, Son of God? You say in the affirmative, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We will immediately escort you back to the baptism pool because you're not saved until we bury you with Christ. So we're not going to waste no time to get you to the water. No, we're going to take you straight back there and dress you up and make sure we bury you with Christ like he told him to do. What did he say do? Bury them. We're going to bury. What did he say, dude? Bury. We're going to bury you under that water. And under water, God going to do his operation on you. Your situation will change from nothing to something. From the nobody to somebody. And you somebody when you got Lord in your life. You got somebody when you got him in your situation. Who going to come this morning? Will be those who need prayer? Would you come? Do you understand that the last time some of us are still here because somebody prayed for us? There's a song that my mama prayed for me. My sister prayed for me. My preacher prayed for me. I'm so glad. I'm so glad they prayed for me. We want to pray for you. I want to pray for your situation. If you got a situation over here, I want you to come down. We're going to pray for your situation. If you got a situation here, bring it down there. We're going to pray for your situation. How about here? If you got a situation, bring it down. Bring it down. Now, what you do, when you get up, just walk. Bring your situation with you. And let us pray for you and watch God make a difference in your life. Come to be baptized. Come to bring your situation. Come to make a confession. Come to say, you know what? I've been out of church way too long. I'm back. I'm back. I ain't back because I want y'all to pat me on my back. I'm back because I want the Lord back in my situation. And that's the only reason to come back. Come back today as together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.